Welcome to the next episode of the Violet Strange Mysteries. This is episode 2, part 6 of The Silver Bullet. In the previous episode, we heard,
I shall pay those debts. When these and other necessary expenses are liquidated, there will be but little left. He made no secret of the fact that he lived close up to his means. That is why he was induced to take on a life insurance. Not a friend of his but knows his improvidence. I have not even jewels. I have only my determination and an absolute conviction as to the real nature of my husband's death. What is the name of the man you secretly believe to have shot your husband from the trellis?
And now for this week's episode.
Mrs. Hammond told her.
It was a new one to Violet. She said so, and then asked, What else can you tell me about him?
Nothing, but that he is a very dark man and has a clubfoot.
Oh, what a mistake you've made.
Mistake? Yes, I acknowledge that. I mean, in not giving this last bit of information at once to the police, a man can be identified by such a defect. Even his footsteps can be traced. He might have been found on that very day. Now, what have we to go upon?
You're right. But not expecting to have any difficulty about the insurance money, I thought it would be generous in me to keep still. Besides, this is only a surmise on my part. I feel certain that my husband was shot by another hand than his own. But I know of no way of proving it.
Do you?
Then Violet talked seriously with her, explaining how their only hope lay in the discovery of a second bullet in the room which had already been ransacked for this very purpose and without the shadow of a result. A tea, a musical, and an evening dance kept Violet Strange in a whirl for the remainder of the day. No brighter eye nor more contagious wit lent brilliance to these occasions, but with the passing of the midnight hour, no one who had seen her in the blaze of electric lights would have recognized this favorite child of fortune in the earnest figure sitting in the obscurity of an uptown apartment, studying the walls, the ceilings, and the floors by the dim light of a lowered gas jet. Violet Strange in society was a very different person from Violet Strange under the tension of her secret and peculiar work. She had told them at home that she was going to spend the night with a friend, but only her old coachman knew who that friend was. Therefore, a very natural sense of guilt mingled with her emotions at finding herself alone on a scene whose gruesome murder she could solve only by identifying herself with the place and the man who had perished there. Diminishing from her mind all thought of self, she strove to think as he thought and act as he acted on the night when he found himself, a man of but little courage, left in this room with an ailing child. At odds with himself, his wife, and possibly the child screaming away in his crib, what would he be apt to do in his present emergency? Nothing at first, but as the screaming continued, he would remember the old tales of fathers walking the floor at night with crying babies and hasten to follow suit. Violet, in her anxiety to reach his inmost thought, crossed to where the crib had stood, and, taking that as a start, began pacing the room in search of the spot from which a bullet, if shot, would glance aside from the mirror in the direction of the window. Not that she was ready to accept this theory of Mrs. Hammond, but that she did not wish to entirely dismiss it without putting it to the test. She found it in an unexpected quarter of the room and much nearer to the bedhead than where his body was found. This, which might seem to confuse matters, served, on the contrary, to remove from the case one of its most serious difficulties. Standing here, he was within reach of the pillow under which his pistol lay hidden, and if startled, as his wife believed him to have been by a noise at the other end of the room, had but to crouch and reach behind him in order to find himself armed and ready for a possible intruder.
imitating his action in this, as in other things, she had herself crouched low at the bedside and was on the point of withdrawing her hand from under the pillow when a new surprise checked her movement and held her fixed in her current position, with eyes staring straight at the adjoining wall. She had seen there what he must have seen in making this same turn. The dark bars of the opposite window frame outlined in the mirror, and understood at once what had happened. In the nervousness and terror of the moment, George Hammond had mistaken this reflection of the window for the window itself and shot impulsively at the man he undoubtedly saw covering him from the trellis without. But while this explained the shattering of the mirror, how about the other and still more vital question of where the bullet went afterward? Was the angle at which it had been fired acute enough to send it out of a window diagonally opposed? No. Even if the pistol had been held closer to the man firing it than she had reason to believe, the angle still would be oblique enough to carry it on to the further wall. But no sign of any such impact had been discovered on this wall. Consequently, the force of the bullet had been expended before reaching it, and when it fell here, her glance, slowly traveling along the floor, impetuously paused. It had reached the spot where the two bodies had been found, and unconsciously her eyes rested there, conjuring up the picture of the bleeding father and the strangled child. How piteous and how dreadful it all was, if she could only understand. Suddenly, she rose straight up, staring and immovable in the dim light. Had the idea, the explanation, the only possible explanation covering the whole phenomena come to her at last? It would seem so, for as she so stood, a look of conviction settled over her features, and with this look, evidences of a horror which, for all her fast accumulating knowledge of life and its possibilities, made her appear very small and very helpless. A half hour later, when Mrs. Hammond, in her anxiety at hearing nothing more from Miss Strange, opened the door of her room, it was to find, lying on the edge of the sill, the little detective's card with these words hastily written across it. What was on that card? Was it good news or bad news? Stay tuned for the next episode of the Violet Strange Mystery Series, The Second Bullet, which will be coming your way shortly. You can find us on Twitter at Audio Mystery Time. That's Cap A Audio Mystery, Cap M, and Time, Cap T-Y-M, at Audio Mystery Time. You can find us on the web at www.stephsvoice4u, that's number 4, letter U, .co.uk. www.stephsvoice4u.co.uk. See you next time, and thanks for listening. Bye.